Just a few months after I was first ordained, I was so proud of wearing that collar, and I just wanted to wear it everywhere. I went to New York City to attend the ordination of one of my friends from school. And so that morning, I was walking around Manhattan, and before I headed up to St. John the Divine, and there was a panhandler there on the sidewalk. And he was not only asking for money, but he was yelling at people who didn't give him money and telling them how greedy they were and how selfish they were. Well, here I come along in my collar. And I thought, ooh, I'm going to get it pretty bad here. If he sees that I'm a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, he's really going to give it to me. So I just took off my collar and put it in my pocket until I got past him. A block or two passed, and then I put it back on because I could just picture him yelling at me, which I don't like in the first place, but also to say, you of all people should be helping me. And he was right, actually, would have been right. I didn't want to stand out that much, especially in that circumstance. But as God's people, we are supposed to stand out. Not because we wear collars, but because we wear things like extraordinary compassion and warmth and care and joy, things which not that many people wear these days. We should be easy to spot, as Moses was when he came from an intimate encounter with God. Our faces should be shining with the knowledge of God's presence, with the news of God's care. This is something we shouldn't be able to hide, and we shouldn't be able to take off. But to be that different in a world that values conformity and going along with the crowd requires discomfort, at least sometimes. We have to get away from the crowd and their values. But what exactly is the crowd doing these days, and what are they pressuring us to do? Walter Brueggemann speaks of the world today, and he sees our economy or our society as a production economy. He says that too often we see the whole world and all of its relationships as part of that production economy, and each of us is measured by our ability to produce more goods and services and accomplishments. And that system in which we strive always to produce, but never seem to produce enough, is the way of the world. And we are to challenge that way, which Walter Brueggemann calls Pharaoh's way, the brick-making system, where you never have enough. He has said that the Ten Commandments given to Moses for the people are really instructions for how not to fall into Pharaoh's trap. He said there are a list of things that will say to you, here's how you can stay out of bondage. Do not worship commodities. Do not invest gold and silver with ultimate value. In other words, honor people. Live in community, in loving community with people, not with commodities. The first step in how we live in community, though, is to begin to see all persons as part of the body of Christ. The theologian Martin Buber called this way of seeing God in the other as I-thou relationships. He said if we use the I-thou approach to our relationships, we see other people not as a thing that might benefit us, but as part of the flesh and blood of Christ. We see God, the thou, in one another. The opposite to the I-thou approach is the I-it way of doing things, in which we begin to see people as a means to an end. In I-it, we become users. We worry about whether we will have enough, and in that worry, we might begin to manipulate, to use, to see other persons as part of the useful production machinery, instead of seeing each of them as a human being made in the image of God. If we can practice living with other people in this I-thou way, we will feel much of the time as if we are strangers and foreigners on this earth. We will be uncomfortable. Our faces will shine, speaking of another way, a way of holiness in all things. We will stick out. We will be uncomfortable. Part of the way we live in this countercultural I-thou stance is by identifying the needs of others and actually making sacrifices so that the fundamental needs of all human beings are met. To get away from this production economy, we have to resist selfishness and instead care for others, even at our own expense. That certainly will make us stand out in the crowd. Someone once said that the mission of the church is to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. We afflict the comfortable by showing that Pharaoh's way of insisting on more and more and more production is not God's way. Are we willing to be a church which sometimes makes people uncomfortable, including ourselves? Are we willing to go out from our encounter with God and let our faces shine so that others see we are different for having encountered God? Are we willing to show others that we and they have the permission to step out of the Pharaoh's system? Of course, my worry is, as leader of this church, if we make people uncomfortable, won't they stop coming? It will take the courage of our convictions, also called faith, to live out in such a countercultural way that we reject materialism and embrace the love of others at our own expense, and at the expense of Pharaoh's economy. I truly believe that people explore church because they are longing for something they're not finding out there in the society in general. They're longing for depth, connection, history, and tradition. A book I'm reading called Hamlet's Blackberry, Building a Good Life in the Digital Age, speaks of the hyperconnection we have with each other in the electronic ways. And the author says that hyperconnection changes the nature of everyday life, making it more frantic and rushed. And we're losing something of great value, a way of thinking and moving through time that can be summed up in a single word, depth. Depth of thought and feeling, depth in our relationships, our work, and everything we do. He goes on to say, since depth is what makes life fulfilling and meaningful, it's astounding that we're allowing this to happen. And to push back would mean to be uncomfortable and countercultural. But the world today says the more electronically connected we are, the better. And we say, going against the culture, that technological connectedness is nothing more than a tool, and that it should help us instead of controlling us. Because our deep need is not just to have acquaintances, but to be known deeply by others. We want to be known in the I-thou relationship. So how do we push back against I-it and embrace our I-thou specifically? How do we push back against the impersonal busyness of society to find true connection to God and to human beings made in God's image? We value persons above efficiency. For instance, if we are in a store and a worker's inefficiency makes us wait,
Maybe we could just see them in their struggle instead of seeing them as an obstacle to the efficiency of our day. We can push away, at least occasionally, from electronic connectedness in favor of human relationship. We can see every person as thou and not it. We can see every person as part of the body of Christ, not as a machine to be used for our gain. And we can embrace the discomfort of not fitting in for having chosen these countercultural ways. Our instinct, ingrained in us by years of living as cogs in the production machine, is to say, what's in it for me? What's in it for you is that you find a life of depth and compassion and human connection, a life where you finally learn to stop asking, what's in it for me? Because if you encounter depth of relationship with other human beings, you learn to find great joy in community, in living as part of a body, and seeing the body of Christ all around you instead of seeing yourself and others as hogs in a machine. It's uncomfortable to go to these places. They're not places that everybody goes. I prefer to stay here, to blend in or even excel at the production economy. I don't want people to put pressure on me by seeing God in my shining face. And so I pray. Thank you, dear Lord, for the comfort you give us. Now give us the strength to pray for this comfort, to be countercultural, to resist the production economy of I, it, and practice the grace of I, thou. Give us the strength to go from this encounter with you and shine with the gift of your presence. Give us the courage to stand. Amen.